All right, I want to greet y'all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessing again to be here with you all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit, God, wisdom and guidance. Father, we thank you, Lord, again for Jesus and what he's done for us. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be faithful to you. Fill us with your spirit and give us wisdom, Father. Help us to be faithful to pursue you, Lord, with our whole hearts. Again, we just ask your blessing on your word. Help us have ears to hear it and hearts, Father, to seek after it, Father. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. All right. Praise the Lord. appreciated the thoughts that the boys shared and the lesson that Cale gave us in the Psalms this morning. It's a real blessing. Guess if I would talk this morning, I appreciate the simplicity that, like Cale was talking about the kingdom of God. It is taken for granted a lot of times that message the boys brought out again about the king being devoted to our king. And this morning I want to open our Bibles to Titus chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 1. That last song we sang about into our hands. That is the foundation, I think, of what I want to talk about this morning. As it relates to the kingdom of God. You know, last week we talked about Jesus and John the Baptist, and they said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And just thinking about that, the kingdom of God is at hand. And that song was saying, into our hands, the message is given. And I just want to translate that just a little bit, or just change that a little bit, but into our hands the kingdom is given. And the practicality of it, and these verses here in Titus, I want to read, it talks about to young men and to young ladies and the responsibility of the kingdom of God. Into our hands. And it's amazing, you know, whenever we talk about God, you know, it seems kind of mystical, and sometimes we don't know exactly, you know, where all of those things fall together, where we are with God sometimes. And I just want to, that phrase just keeps ringing in my ears, into our hands. And you know, the reality is that God is here. God is real. God created all these things. And sometimes we can distance ourselves from God, and, you know, then we begin to wonder about Him. But His presence, His power is in everything. His power, the kingdom of God, is within us, Jesus said. And that's an all-consuming thing. And it's so easy for us that whenever we distance ourselves from Him, well, it's His fault, or we blame Him for those things. But the reality is, it's into our hands. It's all given. Into our hands. And I've just thought about it before. I've seen people, you know, that they kind of grow distant. And then they think, you know, they want to kind of blame it on the other person, or they want to blame it on God. But you know, we're all as close to God as we want to be. It's not God's fault. We're just as close to God as we want to be. And I'm not talking about having this super spiritual feeling that we feel everything's just wonderful all the time. But I'm talking about being in the kingdom of God. You know, it's pretty easy for us to wonder where we're at. But you know, whenever then something comes along and God shows us, this is the way. And we reject that. We don't like that way. We don't like the path that it looks like it's going. So we back up from it. And we distance ourselves. In other words, we don't take it into our hands. The opportunity, the way that He provides of the kingdom of God is a straight and narrow way. And few find it. Because when it comes right down to it, as much as we want to go to heaven, or as much as we want to, you know, save our souls, when it comes right down to it, there's something more important to us. And that's just doing our own way. Or the bondage that we're living in that keeps us from taking those steps to being closer to God. You know, we sometimes get feeling distant from each other or one another. And the problem is we're as close as we want to be. You know, if we'll just humble ourselves and come back to where we're supposed to be, we can be closer to each other. We can be closer to God. I started out first of the week, I read a verse in Romans, I'll quote it here, or I'll read it to you. No need to turn there, but Romans chapter 12 and verse 21, it says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." That says so much. You know, we can look at something and we can blame someone else, or we can see how we're treated, or we can see how things have gone wrong in our life, and we can get upset, we can get bitter, we can get angry. But that little verse says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That is the way that we draw near to God. That whatever the circumstance or the situation comes at us that may cause us to question or cause us to be upset or cause us to want to distance ourselves from God, you overcome that with good. We make a choice. Our whole lives are full of choices. Turn to Titus now in chapter 2. It says, "But as for you, speaking the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." Now, I think one of the biggest mistakes we make by having all the information in the world at our fingertips is we want to figure out doctrine. But that's not the kind of doctrine that he's talking about here. Doctrine is the way we live our lives. It's not what we know or what we can write down about what we believe. "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for the way you live your life." That's what doctrine is. Doctrine is something that controls the way we live. Not just something we understand with our mind, and we can just fill our minds with all kinds of doctrines, theological doctrines, and it never touches the way we live. And that's the doctrine that God's interested in. The doctrine that gets to our heart, that moves how we live. The doctrine that is at hand, that we either take or we reject. You know, we can have the right doctrines and live our lives just as far away from God as imaginable, thinking that we're right near Him because we have the right doctrine. Because when He comes and He offers the way, the cross, we don't like that way. So we choose our own. And then we just study and add a bunch of doctrine to it. He said, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine or sound way of life or building the foundation for a life with God. Because that's where what the true doctrine actually does. It helps us build a foundation. It says older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. These words, older men are to be temperate, balanced, what they do. Dignified, sensible. Sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. You know, these are things, foundational things that we strive for. You know, it doesn't matter how well we start. If we can't finish a project, it's worthless. Doesn't matter how great we start on the kingdom of God. If we don't persevere to the end, it's worthless. Worse than worthless. Perseverance. That means going right on through. That means having patience, like Cale talked about. And that means being diligent, staying right with a job. You know, whenever we try to teach young people, young men, we want them to learn how to do things, but more important than learning how to do it is to stay with it till it's done. You know, it's fun starting a new project, and then it gets boring and we just walk away from it. You're not teaching your children a very good principle there, because it's completing something that's important. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. So that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. To be sensible. There's that word again, sensible. Pure workers at home. Kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Sensible. See, all of these things it's laying out, it's laying a foundation for how people are to build their lives. It's a basic, simple thing to be sensible. To be pure workers at home. And I think we lose that sometime. A worker at home. You know, they used to say that being a mother was the most important job in the world. The hand that rocks the cradle rocks the world. And you know, if you look at the world today, because we've despised that, you see the fruit of it today. Women sometimes think that, oh, their job is important. All they do is stay at home all day. All they do is build a home. That's the greatest commodity that a nation or a church has. And you know what? It's at hand for you women. It's at hand. It's kind of boring. It gets boring being there all day by yourself or by, you know, just with your family. It gets boring. The kingdom of God is at hand. What are you going to do with it? Being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God be not dishonored. You know how many people I've seen that women banging on the word of God won't listen to their husbands. You know what they're doing? They're dishonoring the word of God, and they think they're upholding it. The way of God is in our hands. It may not be the flashiest way. It may not be the excitingest way or the most exciting way. It's right there, though. And we can either pick it up or we can leave it. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. There's that word, the third time we've seen that word, sensible. Sensible. Young men, right now, you are building a foundation. What kind of foundation are you building? You know, you think you're young. You can just do whatever you want, get away with whatever you want. You think you can pursue the world, whatever you want. You're building a foundation for the rest of your life. The kingdom of God is in your hands right now. You can have the world. And I don't mean the wicked world. I mean you can have the world. You can do whatever you want. But you're building a foundation. And you know, whenever we say the Bible, we hear the words, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you don't build a good foundation, your house will collapse. See how that way high up there doctrine is? It is just as simple as having a foundation to building a house on. And if you don't be sensible. And instead of pursuing the flashy things or the pretty things or the things that are right in front of your eyes, if you don't be sensible and spend your young years building a foundation, you know, foundations aren't very flashy. You know, if you build a foundation over your house, guess what gets covered first? Nobody really sees your work, do they? If you build a foundation. In fact, if your foundation, nobody will even know about whether the foundation's good until 30 or 40 years down the road when the house is still standing. You know, we look at all the beautiful structures and the beautiful buildings around the world and things, and they praise the outside of it. But who really praises the foundation of a building that's been sitting there for 1,000 years? Nobody. Foundations aren't very glamorous. They're not very flashy. But it don't matter what you set on that. If that foundation in there, all that pretty will collapse. Young men, you are building a foundation. And if you're not working on that foundation, you're seeking after whatever the world has to offer, the flash, the pretty, the... Your foundation's going to be pretty crumbly in a few years. You know, I wish I would have been able to been taught some of these things. You know, when I was a young man, I was just taught to go for the most you could get out of this world. Find the prettiest girl, find the most, you know, things that's cute. go for whatever you can get instead of being taught to look for a foundation that you can work with. You know, whenever you're picking out a young lady, when you're thinking about a young lady or a young man, you see the flash. But I'm going to tell you right now, you better be looking at, is this a foundation? You know, we talk about being sensible, full of common sense, and we can just explain a lot of things being real sensible. But then when it comes to a foundation, just throw our lives away on some stupid little flash instead of being sensible. You know, common sense, we pride ourselves in just having common sense, being thinkers. And we overlook the most sensible thing in the world, the foundation of our lives that we're building on. Yeah, you're a teenager, you got the whole world by the tail. You're a young man, you got the whole, your life ahead of you. Those hours turn to years pretty quick. And the foundation that you've overlooked will come and bite you in the behind with your family, with your life, with your soul. Sensible. What is sensible? To be sensible. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. Think about your lives. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds. You know, we can do a lot of good deeds, pat ourselves on the back, and still not be very sensible. With purity in doctrine. There it is again, doctrine. Purity in the way you live. Not your theology. Dignified. Honorable. Sound in speech, which is beyond reproach. So that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about you. Are you giving the opponent ammunition? When we stand before God and the opponent has to hang his head, or are we giving him a whole host of things to bring against us? We're as close in the kingdom of God as we want to be. We're as close to the brothers as we want to be. Things don't go our way, we run and hide. We run away. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We can probably all think of some areas in our lives that I could be closer to God right there. But we just won't open up our hands and let go. And that's the depth and width. Is letting go. We hold on to some little thing that we just think we've got to have. Our pride, our, they did me wrong, whatever it is. And we just hold on to that. Instead of letting go and reaching out and grabbing hold of the kingdom of God. All we have to do is let go. But we want to hold on. You know, we know the story of the monkey or the raccoon. I don't know. The trap. They build a hole that they can stick their hand in. All it is a hole. And they put something shiny in there. And that monkey or raccoon will reach in there and grab hold of that thing. And whenever it pulls it back, their hand in a fist won't come out. And they're stuck. And they won't let go of that one little thing, that little shiny thing that they think is so important to them. And they lose their freedom and are trapped. And you can walk right up to them and capture them. And all they have to do is let go. May the Lord add His blessing. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back here at 6 o'clock. God bless y'all. Peace.